The Church of our Lord began in Acts chapter 2, and the book of Acts is a very special book about the church. It shows us how and when the church began. It tells us how the church began to spread, how that people were saved and added to the Lord's body. It also records a great deal about the opposition and the struggles that the early church faced, both inside the church and outside of the church. And it also shows us what the church did. It tells us about the activities and the works that the church engaged in. Now, we've looked at the beginning of the church. We've looked at the organization of the church. We've talked about the worship of the church. And we've talked about how the church is to deal with problems. Now, we want to talk about its work. What is the church really all about? When you look at any group or any kind of club of people, you find that there are certain things that that group of people does. Now, the church is the same. There are certain priorities that the church has. There are certain emphases that the church is to give. What are these? According to the Bible, what is the church? What are God's people to be involved in? What are we to focus on? Now, many churches today have all kinds of programs of work. They have all kinds of activities. But our question is this. Are those activities the same activities that we read about in the Bible? Are they similar? Are they the same? How close are these programs today to those that we read about in the Bible? So we're going to go to the Bible to see what the Scriptures teach us about the church and what the church ought to be doing. You know, churches are collections of people. And in those collections or groups of people, you have money, you have talent, you have time, you have all kinds of abilities. Now, how is that money? How are those abilities, and how is that time to be used? What kind of guidelines, what kind of scriptures can we find on this topic? What we're going to do to begin with is to go straight to the book of Acts, because the book of Acts records, as we said, the beginning and the spread of the church. It tells us what the church is, but it also tells us what the church is to do. So let's begin in the book of Acts, and today we're going to look at how the church was involved in helping the needy. This is a primary work of the church. Sometimes we call this benevolence. We're to help the needy. And this we find in the very beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. The Bible tells us in Acts 2, beginning in verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." Now, there were many people that were gathered together. There were 3,000 souls that were baptized that day. So the church had a big beginning. The Bible says that they pooled their resources and they gave to each other as every man had his own need. Now, let's turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in Acts 4, verse 34, the Bible says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas," which is being interpreted, "the son of Consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." These people were great givers. These people were cheerful givers. They loved each other. They wanted to help each other as Christians. And so if there was anybody that had any need in the early church, those other Christians helped that person out. So we find in the very beginning of the church that the church is composed of giving people, that the church is about helping people who are in need. And I want you to notice the size of the gifts that are involved here. Look at the extent of their giving. There are some of these people that are selling a house or selling land that they have, and they just give it to the church. they lay the money down at the apostles' feet. There are some people that when they want to give a gift to the church, they want to control every aspect of how that money is used. There are strings attached. The Bible says there were no strings attached to this giving. They simply sold a house or sold land and brought that money and gave it to the apostles, and then the distribution was made as every man had need. These were fantastic givers. They were very liberal and very generous in their giving. I think that we may be tempted to look back at these people and think that everybody was poor in Bible times, but they weren't. There were rich people in Bible times, and there were poor people in Bible times. So there were rich people that wanted to be baptized, and they were added to the church. They became members of the Lord's church, but there were also poor people that were baptized and added to the Lord's church. So we may feel like sometimes that we live in such an advanced age that we're more prosperous than the people were then, and yet what we find is that there were some pretty wealthy people back in Bible times, and some of those wealthy people did become Christians, members of the body of Christ. And of course, as you go into chapter 5, you find the sad story of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied about the amount of money that they were giving to the church, but that's another story. Let's go to Acts chapter 6, the book of Acts, chapter 6, and we find again that the church is engaged in helping people. Acts 6, verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now, we've already talked about and we've already seen many times in the Bible that wherever you have people, you have problems. You have disagreements among people. That is just as true in the church as it is in the home or anywhere else. And so it's not long after you find the church established that there are some differences of agreement. There are some hurt feelings in the church, and the Bible shows that these differences need to be reconciled. So the problem here was that there were some people in the church that said that their widows, these Greek widows, were being neglected in the daily ministration. They said, now these Hebrew widows are being helped by the church, but these Greek widows are not. So they felt that it was unfair. They felt that the church was being partial. So the Bible says then that the 12, that is the 12 apostles, called these disciples together and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Verse 2, "And they told them, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." That is exactly what was done here, and then there was peace in this kind of situation. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 11, and we find again a need, and we find the Christians meeting this need. Acts 11, beginning in verse 27. The Bible says, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, that is a famine, a great drought, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea," because the area of Judea was hard hit by this drought, and a lot of Christians there were suffering, "which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So you find here again that there's a great need. You find needy people, and what do these Christians do? They give of what they have in order to help these people. So benevolence, giving to help people who are in need, is a major part of being a Christian, and it's a major work of the church. You'll remember that when John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, that the people came to him and they said, "What shall we do?" You see, John the Baptist had preached to them that the people needed to repent of their sins and that they needed to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. That means that they needed to change their life. They needed to give up the sin in their life, and they needed to take on good, decent, righteous habits. So the people came to John the Baptist and said, "Well, what shall we do then?" They're not asking about being baptized because he's already told them and they already know that they need to be baptized. But what they're asking about is, what kind of changes do we need to make in our lives? And the Bible tells us that the first thing that John the Baptist specified as far as making these changes was concerned was this. After they asked John the Baptist what to do, John the Baptist answered and said unto them in Luke 3, verse 11, "He that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that has meat, that is, he that has food, let him do likewise." The first thing that John talked about in a reformed life was to give to people who are in need. And that is exactly what we find the early church doing here in Acts 11, verses 27 through 30. Now, notice again in verse 29 a very important principle. Some people can give more than others. And sometimes there are those who can give very, very little. Remember the story of the poor widow that could only give two mites, but she gave more than all of them because she gave of all that she had? Well, the Bible reflects that teaching here in Acts 11, verse 29, when it says, "The disciples, every man according to his ability, gave to help these people who were in need." So some had more ability to help than others because some had more money. Some people had more means to be able to help these people who were in need. And so the more that the person was able to help, the more he was expected by God to help. The less that a person was able to help somebody in need, the less he was expected to help. It was according to his ability. Now, of course, that is exactly what the Bible is saying in different words. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, when the Bible says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him," depending on how God has prospered that person. Now, we're going to look at one other passage in the book of Acts about giving and doing benevolent work, and it's found in Acts chapter 20, and we'll read verses 33 through 35. Acts 20, verse 33 through 35, Paul is talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and here's what he says. "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Acts 20, verses 33 through 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this is a very important topic for us today. Helping the needy is one of the main works of the church. It always has been, and it always will be. Now, toward the end of this particular series of four lessons, we're going to look at some questions about giving and about benevolent work, and we're going to talk about the church and its part in that. But I do want to raise one question and deal with it very briefly, and that is, are there any limits when it comes to a church giving? Well, of course there are, and I want to point out one. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. And so if a man who is able to work is too lazy to work, and he comes to the church asking for money, well, the church is not obligated to support that man. He ought to be supporting himself. He ought to be working and providing for himself. So the Bible does teach that there are some limits to this giving to help people who are in need. But the overall picture is that the church should have a big heart, should be very compassionate, and always have its eyes open and its hands extended to help people who are truly in need.